At Easter Sunday, we come to one of the most difficult things to believe in the Christian faith. It's the epicenter of the Christian faith, this resurrection of Jesus, that he has defeated death and come back from the dead. And for a lot of people, it's some of the turning off point for following Jesus, that this resurrection is something that's not able to get a hold of. There's often things, other areas where we decide that we need to figure something out, we need to be able to explain it first before we can step into it. And just stay with me for a moment, but a lot of the world of people doing magic tricks is about figuring it out, explaining step by step. There's even shows dedicated to figuring out how somebody did something that seemed to break the law of physics, escape natural law. Many of you are familiar with this man, Henry Houdini. This guy lived during the late 19th century and into the 20th century, and he was well known as a stage magician, but mostly he was well known as an escape artist. That was his main niche. They would try every little thing to incarcerate him or lock him up, and he would escape and walk away. He was buried not once, not twice, but three times, and each time he escaped and walked away. One time they tried to trap him in a boiler, and he busted out and he walked away. They wrapped him in canvas bags with lots of locks. As you can see, he was known as Harry Handcuff Houdini. And he would wriggle out, undo the locks, and walk away. There was, in October 1926, though, Henry Houdini faced something that he couldn't walk away from. He couldn't escape from. And that was his own death. He was scared of death. He feared it greatly. This is his tombstone there, and that statue that's there mourning is a statue of his wife. Because he told his wife this. He told her, if there's any way out of death, I will find it. If there's any way out, I will find you, and I will make contact with you on the anniversary of my death. So his wife, Bess, would leave a candle burning, would light it every anniversary of his death underneath a painting of Henry Houdini. And she would hope that he would communicate to her again from the grave. After 10 years, she stopped lighting the candle. And when a reporter asked why, she said, 10 years is long enough to wait for any man. Houdini could not escape and walk away from death, no matter how hard he tried. As we come to the most important and famous part of the Christian story, there is still a desire to explain away that Jesus rose from the dead and walked away from the tomb. And I want to walk us through three points of evidence around that his resurrection did actually happen. And I know this sometimes isn't convincing. If you're a skeptic, this isn't going to out to convince you. These are just three things to consider around strong points of evidence for the resurrection. And then after that, we're going to take a look at some biblical texts about its impact. So, this first thing is that Matthew and John and Peter and James were all eyewitnesses to the resurrection. They were people who actually saw Jesus after he was raised from the tomb and wrote about it. The Gospels of Mark, the Gospels of Luke, they were eyewitnesses and they interviewed people. Now, I know if you're a skeptic of the resurrection or if you don't really believe it or it doesn't sit quite well with you, this isn't a strong point of evidence because you said, well, yeah, they're eyewitnesses, but it's still their story. They could have made it up, right? But a second part that comes from this that I think is a stronger evidence is that the disciples, when Jesus died on the cross, they all unfollowed him. They stopped being a follower of Jesus. They didn't expect him to die on the cross, even though he talked to them about it beforehand. And what happened was they started to hide themselves, there's an artist's depiction of it, hide themselves in a locked room, afraid for their lives. Reason being is because they were not going, okay, how do we keep the message of Jesus alive? They're going, okay, how do we keep ourselves alive now? Because the authorities came after Jesus, they're likely going to come after us. So we're going to hide in this room and stay locked up in fear. But then an event happened for them. They saw somebody walking from the grave, and they changed them. They went from being hiding in this room in fear to this. Another artist's depiction up there, but there's the Apostle Peter and the other disciples. They come out and they start doing the opposite of what they're doing, of proclaiming their faith in Jesus Christ, that he died and was rose again, that he is the Messiah, and because of that, they have no fear of death any longer. So much so that 10 of the 11 disciples actually end up giving their lives believing this. They don't recant it on their deathbed or anything like that. They end up being persecuted. They end up dying for the message that Jesus died and rose again. So here's another strong point of evidence that they saw a dead man walking, and it changed them from being afraid for their lives to walking in freedom. And then lastly, this third thing that I want to point of evidence I want to talk about for the resurrection. It's not from the Bible, but it's from history nearby. Many of you are familiar with the Emperor Nero. He was emperor during the early church years in the first century. And if I were to ask you about Nero, you'd probably tell me two pieces of information around him. First of all, that the great fire of Rome in 64 AD, you'd probably mention this event, and that he is known as the one who started the fire. He was obviously not the best leader around to set his own city on fire, but that's what he chose to do. It burned for 6 days, and then he after it was put out, obviously there was a government inquisition inquiry, and they go, who started this? And he needs a scapegoat. So he decides to blame the early church, the first Christians. He says, the Christians started the fire, and a great persecution breaks out. Christians are fed to lions, Christians are tortured, and that's his way of shifting the blame away from himself. Now, the reason this is a point of evidence is because of the resurrection, is because Rome is 1,500 miles away from Jerusalem, where the epicenter of the Christian faith started, where Jesus was crucified and was first seen raised. And it's only been about 30 years since his death and resurrection. And what I've understood around myths and legends that I've studied, that it takes between 40 and 80 years for a myth or a legend to start to take place, such as if the resurrection was made up. It's only been about 30 years. The reason why it takes 40 to 80 years is because you need all the eyewitnesses to be what? Dead. Yeah, you need them to be ceased. Because once the eyewitnesses are gone, then you can start making up how it actually went down, right? But it's only been 30 years. And it hasn't been long enough for this myth or legend to be made up and created. It's grown so fast that 1,500 miles away, there are thousands of Christians in Rome that Nero uses as a scapegoat. It's just stronger evidence that this wasn't made up, that something actually happened back here in Jerusalem 30 years prior that had spread all the way to Rome already. Now, the evidence of the resurrection is there, and I wouldn't necessarily go, this is how we are reasoned into the faith. This is that the logic of it will draw us in. But I believe that the impact of the resurrection in the first disciples and throughout the last 2,000 years, and it's still meant to be experienced today, that the power and the impact of the resurrection is still available to us. So I want to read through the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 28, if you do have a scripture here that you'd like to follow along with, but it'll be up there on the screen as well. Just reading through the narrative of the resurrection, and then we're going to take a look at some other texts that talk about its impact. Matthew 28, verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as a new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Mary Magdalene is someone who was physically healed by Jesus. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. When the angel spoke to the woman, he said, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come see where his body was lying. Now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." And then before the woman run off to tell the disciples, just on a side note, the first Christians wanted to make up this story and to tell about the resurrection happening, that Jesus wasn't dead anymore. I've researched that you wouldn't use women to tell that he was alive as the first witnesses. Nothing against women, but that in the first century, women unfortunately didn't have any credibility as a witness. They weren't used in court as a witness, probably because they would actually say it like it is. But but women were not used as witnesses. And so the fact that the gospel writers reveal to us that the first witnesses of the resurrection were women, and they were the ones who actually told the disciples that Jesus is alive, shows that this, another further point of evidence, is this wasn't made up. It goes on to say that this, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." There's these powerful stories that we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Jesus doesn't stay in the grave. And as I said earlier, the impact of the resurrection was meant to be experienced by the first Christians. The impact of it and the power of it is also meant to be experienced by us as Christians today. The Apostle Paul wrote two really crucial things that kind of unpacked the resurrection for us, and we're going to read them now. They're just two short verses, one from Romans and one from Ephesians. If you can turn to Romans 8 if you'd like. Verse 11, it says this. From the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. So Apostle Paul's making a point that Jesus was raised from the dead by God's Holy Spirit, the very presence of God. And that very presence of God, when you become a follower of Christ, when you give your life to him and commit to him as your Lord and Savior, that presence, that Holy Spirit, now lives in you. And there's huge connotations for that. There's huge impact for that. Turn with me to Ephesians 1, if you'd like. Verses 19. Paul says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms." So the same power that raises Jesus from the dead is the same power that Paul says lives in us as followers of Christ. That Holy Spirit, that incredible, miraculous power lives in us. It would certainly help explain the disciples' reaction that we talked about a little bit earlier, that they were living in fear, they were locked in rooms, they're afraid of the authorities, and then suddenly they become bold. They don't care how their lives end up. They don't care that they will be killed for their message of faith. 10 out of the 11, as I said, died for the faith. The 11th lived in exile, the Apostle John, till his old age. All of them sacrificed, and they knew that there was life beyond the grave. That Jesus walked away from the tomb so that they could walk in freedom. Jesus walked out of the tomb so that they could walk in freedom. There's a man named Ki Won. He's a North Korean man, still alive today, who a friend of mine had the pleasure of meeting. He had to go on a retreat with him and spend time with him and hear his life story. Ki Won is known as the Schindler of the North Korean world. He has helped smuggle hundreds of people out of North Korea into safety. That is what he's spent 20, 30 years doing in his lifetime. Ki Won, at one point, was captured, and he was captured and taken into imprisonment in China. He was imprisoned for 9 months, during which he wasn't treated very well. He was beaten, he was tortured, and he tried with his utmost strength and ton of God's love and grace to take it willingly, to be kind, even to the prison guard that would administer his beatings. The prison guard was so amazed and impacted by Kiwan's demeanor, they eventually asked him, you know, why is he imprisoned? And Ki Won told his story, told him his testimony about what God has done and what God had called him to do in helping bring North Koreans out of North Korea. The prison guard gave his life to Christ. Eventually, Ki Won was released, and he stayed in contact with this prison guard. He kept the communication going. And as love would have it, this prison guard married Kiwon's daughter. That would be an awkward Easter dinner, wouldn't that? Yeah. Yeah, just incredible. But talk about resurrection power. Power of the resurrection to forgive, to love, and to redeem a situation. To take something that is so awful and bring something so wonderfully good out of it. That is what the resurrection power is like. Jesus walked out of the tomb so that you and I can walk in freedom. The Apostle Paul also wrote this out of 1 Corinthians 15 around the resurrection. He said this, "For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory is his resurrection from the grave." He goes on, he says this, "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." So he gives us three things out of this passage in light of the resurrection, in light of the power that's living within us. Three things that we can experience now. First one is stability. The resurrection power gives us an anchor, a stability that is not of this world, that we could not fathom ourselves. He uses the words being steadfast and immovable. Because of the victory of the cross and the resurrection, you have the capacity to be strong and immovable. Jesus walked from the tomb so that you could walk in freedom. Second thing that the Apostle Paul writes in this passage, he gives us a purpose. He says, because of the resurrection, we can always work enthusiastically for the Lord. We have the capacity to work inspired, to have a purpose that means something. When we do things, we can do it enthusiastically. And this power living within us gives us hope. And sometimes we feel like we may be dragging our feet and we may not be able to do things enthusiastically and that we're fighting an uphill battle. And I want to encourage you that sometimes our virtue isn't created in a moment, that this power living in us isn't just this miracle that takes place and suddenly we're all our habits are changed and we have a different mindset. But it's the process of salvation that's lived out that we learn to become more Christ-like, become to be more dependent upon him. Even the Apostle Paul, in the book of Philippians in chapter 4, he says that famous phrase, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But a few verses prior, he talks about why he can do all things through Christ. He says it's because he's learned the process of being content with whatever he has. He's learned the process of being content. It's not something that happened suddenly. It was something that God molded in him over time. So Jesus walked from the tomb so you and I could walk in freedom. Thirdly, out of this 1 Corinthians 15 passage, Paul gives us hope because of the resurrection. He says, "For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. God will use whatever you want to glorify him with. We live and function in a fallen world, and it can be very discouraging. We see brokenness all around. We experience brokenness, sometimes on a very personal level with loved ones. But in the darkest moments, we can still have hope because Jesus has risen from the grave. God can redeem any situation. And in our weakness and in our confusion, we could admit to God that we need him. We need his power. We need him to help us and strengthen us. And Jesus did promise this. He didn't sugarcoat it. He said this. He said, "Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart because I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome the world because he has taken the worst that humanity could throw at him, the pain, the torture, the crucifixion, and turned it around into a beautiful situation that is for our benefit. His resurrection power that now is available to us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked out of the tomb so that you and I could walk in freedom. The moment that you decide to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the moment that the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's the power of the resurrection. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So you take a look at things in your life that you feel like are immovable. whether it's a relationship that's broken, a bitterness that's stuck, an unforgiveness, a habit you desire to break that's hurting you and hurting others, and you feel like it just won't go away. The more you commit to Christ and get to know Him and spend time in His presence and His love and how much He cares for you, how much grace He has for you, the more you get molded more and more into His image, more and more you live in His resurrection power. Jesus walked out of the tomb so that you can walk in freedom. Now, I want to close with and pray. And as I do so, I know that there's people here who are just visiting and they're passing through town or they're traveling. Sometimes you come just on Easter, and that's fantastic. I appreciate you coming. And I'm going to throw a prayer up on the screen there. And say maybe you've heard something today and you go, okay, I feel like I've experienced the love and grace of God here today and I want to respond. Then I'm going to invite you to just mentally pray the prayer that's on the screen. It's just a prayer of commitment to Christ. And say you're here today and you're just exploring and you're not ready to make that type of prayer, I invite you to grab one of these Gospel of Johns. There's like a bunch of them there at the back on the table. Just grab one on your way out and begin reading it. I invite you just to do that. Or maybe you're here today and you feel like you want to recommit yourself. You've been away from God for a while. You've walked away. It's not been a part of your life for a while. Then I invite you to pray this prayer as well on the screen. And if you do, I would love to hear about it later. Come talk to me after the service and we can celebrate together. So let's pray. This prayer says, Jesus, thank you for making me and loving me. Even when I've ignored you and gone my own way, I realize that I need you in my life and I'm sorry for my sins. I accept your grace and your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please help me to understand it more. And as much as I know how, I want to follow you from now on. I invite you into my life and ask that you would make me new inside. Please help me to grow in love for you, myself, and for others. And God, we thank you for today, the chance to celebrate Easter Sunday, the most important event in our Christian faith. That because of the resurrection, there is a Holy Spirit power available to us. There is hope beyond the grave. And a reassurance that you are with us always. Thank you for these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.